Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. These are the words of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He spoke these words to a crowd that was confused, troubled, broken, led in the ways of hypocrisy and wickedness. Often this passage is called the Beatitude, a passage that speaks of God's blessings upon those who walk after Him. So that verse says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Nonetheless, it is also a rebuke to those who live in impurity. As we begin to meditate upon this text, let's ask the Lord to bless us. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Our Father in heaven, we come to thy holy presence in Jesus' name. We pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit upon the preacher to preach against sin and preach forth Christ, his salvation, and his righteousness to all the hearers. Lord, we ask that thou will make eternal realities very clear to all the hearers. May thou remove every facade and get through to every heart this morning. Oh, let every man and woman come to the fountain filled with the Emmanuel's blood to be cleansed, to see God as He is. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Firstly, this text is a condemnation of the present world that lieth in wickedness. These words of Christ run directly counter to the philosophy and lifestyle or the way of life of this world. We live in an unclean world where man delights and promotes sin with great enthusiasm. Even Sodom could not have sunk any deeper than the modern cities of our world. Like the capital of the ancient city of Wise, men of our time, cities of our time everywhere, parade their sinful propensities with unblushing shamelessness. What ones we detested, what ones we put away from our societies, is now brought in, cultivated, nurtured to bring in money. Can our society plunge into greater filth and impurity than ever before? It has gone to death, which is so abominable and detestable before the Lord. From the womb to the tomb, man is bombarded with every satanic incentiveness to live holy life and embrace iniquities of this world. The riches, the resources, the inventions of men in education, in art, in music, in literature, on stage, in films, in science and in business are largely employed for mass spreading of sensuality and wickedness. It's so difficult to guide our children through modern education system. A lot of courses are geared to teach our young men to accept filthiness of this world and then thrive through it to establish a carnal materialistic world. Now, all these are supposed to be freedom and fun. Sin is paraded as real freedom. It is held up as uninhibited fun. If you watch carefully, it will appear to all of us that no price is too high to pay for those who accept and encourage these diabolical filths. It seems to me it will be too old-fashioned for one to call such practices a sin and to stand back and gasp. No one seemed to be troubled by the atrocities of sin. The mental hospitals are overflowing. Who bothers? They are rebuilding and extending it everywhere, even in our country. I know this because I'm engaged counseling a lot of such mentally troubled people. They are not ill-educated, downtrodden people. Some of them are well-educated with lots of money. But why? Who bothers to ask? Is the lack of counselors in schools? Even our primary schools have counselors, but seldom they teach that sin is sin. But rather, they put a veil on sin and said, oh, let us teach you how to engage in these things without much pain. Suicides are getting rampant. Liquor and narcotics really blight millions. Homes are more like hell than heaven. Divorce increases. Children are stranded. Unborn babies are butchered and thrown into trash cans. And the world is trying to make promise so that promiscuity will be painless. These are all outcomes of an impure age, to which the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Whatever I have spoken thus far are fruits of unrestrained filth of man's heart in this impure age. Now there are those who would never go out to live in open debauchery and sin. Nonetheless, in the secrecy of their homes, they entertain their hearts with constant stream of sinful passions through the media entertainment. In the secrets of their hearts and homes, they become slaves to habits, indulgences, and passions that are indescribably sinful. Quietly, but surely. They consume day after day, night after night, sin in doses that are hard to describe. People today live with 9 gills of hidden sin. All those despicable sins that the Bible mentions behind the grand exteriors of their houses. Some of these houses has nice flags in the front saying Christ is the head of this house. But what goes on in the rooms of those houses? It doesn't seem that they have ever seen God or they will ever see God. Pure in heart. This is a call to go beyond the externalism of the Pharisees and scribes who were listening to Christ at that time. Now take a look at the context of this interesting passage. Now you may turn to the same chapter, verse 20. This is what Jesus said to his hearers. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must have a righteousness that far exceeds the righteousness preached and observed by the Pharisees and scribes. But why? What's wrong with their righteousness? Because their righteousness was outward, external. You want to see that? Let's turn to Matthew 23. It's a classic chapter on God's condemnation, on the hypocrisy of the people. The Lord himself means no words when he speaks to them. He was never afraid to speak the truth. And you can take time at home to read through this passage. But I would have you read with me from verse 25 to verse 28. Matthew 23, verses 25 to 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The Lord looked through their externals. He was not impressed by the facade that these people had. He looked into the heart. Oh, that's why he said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. It doesn't mean that the Lord is not concerned about what they did and what they said outwardly. You see, he was not condoning outward sin by saying, look in your heart. He was saying that, you know, when you try to appear righteous outside, take care of your inside. Because if your inside is not clean, sooner or later, you will work out the uncleanness in your outer life as well. No amount of external rites and religiosity can make our hearts pure. Oh, dear friends, let it be known to you. As we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Do you remember the patriarch Job, who tried to answer the question in the 9th chapter of his book? And the question was, how should man be just with God? In verses 30 and 31 of Job chapter 9, we read this. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. He is simply saying, no external rite or effort in trying to make me look good cannot cleanse my heart. Let my friends look at the tragedy of our time. Churches, our churches, are as foolish as the synagogues of Christ's days. Abject foolishness. For men and women are going about being satisfied because they participated in some form of religious activity. Because they sang in the choir, or because they attended the youth fellowship, or because they have gone through the baptism, they think they are made right. They think some form of religious activity will help them to maintain godliness within. They don't bother to cleanse within. Now, this is the case in Roman churches. It's the case in many Protestant churches, among the evangelicals, and, mind you, even among the fundamentalists. And it is getting from bad to worse. Foolish living by trusting in outward manifestation or observations of Christian faith. Hypocrisy, as Jesus said, is a cup that is clean and glittering outside, but full of dirt and stain within. Your cups and platters must be clean within, Jesus said. Then the outside will also be clean. Matthew 23, 26. Hypocrisy is therefore, dear friends, is spiritual blindness. It is totally futile to be concerned with only what is outside for men to see, and not concerned about what is within, which God looks at. God is not looking for lip services. God is not impressed because you sing the same song the church worship leader has announced. The Lord is not impressed because you read the same text from the King James Bible we use. The Lord is not impressed because you put money into the offering bag. If they come from an unclean heart, they are only good to be heard in hell, not in heaven. every singing, every utterance of praise that comes out of unclean heart, let me tell you, my friends, will go no further than the roof of this building. Amen. The Lord will not be pleased with that. Within you and me, we must be clean. If we leave our hearts in the mire of our natural sinful inclination, it will do us no good. You may have religion, but no redemption. You may have rites and rituals, but no reality. If you have a religion that leaves you in sin, let me tell you, it has not led you to repentance and redemption. You are still in your sin. It can be Gethsemane Bible Presbyterian Church, it can be Calvary Pandan BP Church, it can be some other Reformed Baptist Church, it can be whatever church. But if your hearts are not cleansed, you go nowhere but to the place of condemnation. I believe this is the first message that the Lord wants to bring to our minds this morning when He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." In other words, there is no blessedness for those who are impure in heart. Jeremiah 17:9, a familiar verse to most of us. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Oh, cry out, "Who shall cleanse me? Who shall make me clean? When will I have the blessedness that Jesus spoke of?" Cry out from your heart. Now, let no man sit here this morning. Let no woman sit here in this morning thinking that there is nothing to be cleansed in my heart. Go deep in. Search out your hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit and the truth. See whether there is any iniquity in your heart. Proverbs 29. Ask this question. Proverbs 29. Who can say, "I have made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin"? What an important, pertinent question. Who can say, "I have made my heart clean and I am pure from my sin"? Now I want to quickly move on to the blessed truth that the Lord wants to impress upon us. If it was, or if it will be, an impossibility that we can be pure in our heart, the Lord wouldn't have said it. It is possible. Praise the Lord. But how is it? Let us turn our Bibles, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Come to this, my friend, with utter acknowledgement or full acknowledgement of your sins. Do not turn to it just for mental information. Turn to this passage that your hearts may be made pure. Hebrews chapter 9. Why not we all read together joyfully? Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Dead works, what are they? Oh, those are outward ritualism that doesn't come from a clean heart. Dead works. Impure. Hypocritical. Religiosity. Oh Lord, save me today from my sins. How? Well, the Bible says His blood, the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was shed on the cross, is able to cleanse our very conscience. What's so interesting about conscience? Mine. It's the faculty of our soul. By the way, man is made up of two main parts, body and soul. First, God created man from the dust of the earth. It was lifeless form. And the scripture says in the book of Genesis that the Lord breathed into his nostrils. And then the next phrase is this: He became a living soul. Man is a body and a soul. Now, if you look at a dead body, it has no feelings, right? It doesn't smile at you. Hey, thanks for coming. Nope. Why? The soul has departed. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when the soul is taken away from us, the life is gone and the body remains motionless, without feeling and sensations. Now, there's something wonderful about the soul. It has many faculties. And one of it is called conscience. What is conscience? Well, if you study the book of Romans, chapter 2, there it is said, it is where God puts his moral law so that we may know what is sin and what is righteousness. And it is also the faculty of the soul that God will use to bring out all the wickedness that we have committed, even those in secrecy. Sometimes the word conscience is used synonymously with the word heart, our heart, a conscience. Well, that word heart, when it is used synonymously with conscience, it does not mean the heart in our body that pumps blood. It's a reference to the ability of our soul to feel, to realize, to sense God's righteousness, His holy law. Now your own conscience, by the help of the Holy Spirit, will show you where you have gone wrong. That's why in Psalm 139, David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Oh, my heart, it knows the waywardness of my life. I might have tried to impress my wife, one may say, with my words that I love her. But the truth is in my conscience. Eh? It knows how unfaithful it was. You tell your daddy, I never stole your money. Maybe the maid took, actually you yourself took it. You never say it loud, but your conscience keep telling you. Don't you remember sometimes even after 10 years later, you still remember, oh no, what shall I do now? I told that lie and I made that poor maid's life difficult. Huh? Now all of your secrets is in your conscience. Who is pure in heart? Who is blessed? I think we all will cry now, Lord, none, not even this preacher, is pure in heart. What can take away my sin? As we sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For he took the burden and guilt of our sin, suffered the wrath of God in your place, in my place, went to the cross. He drank the bitter cup of God's wrath against your sin. Why, my friend? That the blood the life he poured out in his blood may be the substitutionary atonement for us, that we may never be condemned for our sins. He became a sin for us. In him, all our sins are buried once and for all. Now, as he resurrected, we also come out of all the sins and guilt and walk in the newness of life. This he achieved. But how can you have it for yourself? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. It's right there. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart. You watch that. True heart. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Well, these are Old Testament figurative terms. Sprinkled with clean water means cleansed. How can we be cleansed? By drawing near to Christ with true faith. And when you cast your trust in Christ, oh, let it be full assurance for you. For he died. He died to pay the punishment of our sins, to take away the power of sin from our hearts, to make us free now and forever. Thanks be unto God. Let us all come near to Christ, to the cross where he died, from which the blood of the Emmanuel flows freely to cleanse every one of us who will draw by faith. If there is anyone in this congregation this morning is troubled by his sin, by the impurity to which he is enslaved, may I call you, my friend, in the name of Christ and through his gospel, to go by faith to Christ, the Savior. Pray to him without hesitance, with full assurance of faith. Lord, forgive my sin. Do it now. In your heart, Lord, cleanse me from my sins. Cleanse me. If you say it with true faith, with utter repentance, you shall be cleansed. 1 John, let's all read together now. 1 John chapter 1. A verse that is familiar to millions of Christians everywhere. Let's recollect our memory with this blessed assurance. That it may this never be forgotten. Verse 9. Read with me, my friends. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, he is faithful and just means he will never break his word. He's holy. He will keep his word. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What a blessed Lord he is. Cling on to him till you die. Cling on to him and pray every day as you go with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for my Savior who shed his blood to cleanse me. 1 John 1 says it again in verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, dear friends, I'm very mindful that many of you are believers. Many of you have already walked to that great fountain the cleansing fountain of Christ. But still, is it not true with you and me that we crave, we desire with great passion, and we pray that the sins that easily beset us will be removed? Oh, this fallen nature of ours sometimes bring in things that we don't like to even think of and draw us to its wickedness. How can we escape from this, my friends? Well, if you once again recall 1 John 1, it says, if we confess, well, that includes John the Apostle and this preacher and you who have already trusted the Lord, it is still able to cleanse us. So we must go to Christ in repentance, asking that we be cleansed by His blood that is shed on the cross once and for all. And again, my friends, the scripture is very clear that to keep our hearts pure, the Lord has given us His word, His inspired, infallible, preserved word forever. Now turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. To keep us pure from our sins, the word is given in our hands. 1 Peter chapter 1. It tells us in verse 23 of chapter 1 that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is forever. And then in verse 25, now it's not only written forever, but it will be preached among God's people who believe it. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Watch this. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Praise God for faithful pastors who never mince word, God's word. They never trim any part of God's word. They never give you any idea that it's not complete or it's not infallible. They preach it with absolute conviction. Praise God for them. Why? Look at the next verse. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, because you have God's word, and it is preached faithfully to you, the Bible says, wherefore, lay aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Lay aside. How to lay aside? By listening to God's word. By reading the infallible, pure words of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Every word is pure. Why does God give us a pure word? So that we may be purified. If He give us an impure word, we cannot be purified. Pure word is given to purify us. So as you listen to God's word, as it rebukes you and guides you in path of righteousness, or lay aside. Lay aside. Look at the list of sins mentioned. They are all in plural or in categories. All malice. All guile. That means there are different kinds of maliciousness and guile, deceptiveness. Hypocrisies, plural. Envies, plural. All evil speakings, plural. Oh, who can finish counting the kind of sins that we have? They all comes in different shades and color, isn't it? One may say, I'm not a murderer, but the Lord says in His word, if you hate your brother, you committed murder already. One may say, I never committed adultery, but the Lord says, if you lust after a woman, you committed adultery already. Now, who can go away saying, oh, look, I have no sin because I have not visited a prostitute, because I did not stab a person to death. When the word of God is preached, as Jesus prayed in John 17, thy word is truth. Lord, sanctify them by thy truth. The word of God is truth and it sanctifies. It pricks our hearts. Now, are you pricked? The Holy Spirit takes God's word and reminds you, oh, friend, you have allowed some maliciousness to beset your heart. You have been deceptive. You have been bad-mouthing. You had a habit of evil speaking. There are many kinds of evil speaking. You say vulgarities. You tell lies. You cheat. You curse. You preach untruth. All these are evil speakings. And different kinds of sins mentioned. Holy Spirit may be awakening you now to your own sins. What shall you do now? Go to the fountain. The blood of Christ. When the word of God, the instrument of God's grace, awaken our soul to the realities, the existence of besetting sins in various forms in our hearts, may we quickly say, cleanse me, cleanse me. As Proverbs 20 told us, who can cleanse his own heart? No one. The Lord must cleanse it. So let's run to him. Thankfully, there is a fountain filled with that crimson flow available to all of us till he returns to judge the world. After your death, after the judgment day, there is no more redemption. Today is the day of salvation. Come to him, my friends. Now, there's a great blessing to those who are cleansed by the blood of Christ. Jesus himself said, blessed are the pure in heart. He cleanses our conscience. He makes us pure. Oh, the blessedness of those who are cleansed can never be described. We shall sing of this blessedness throughout the eternity to come. Now go and figure out how long is eternity. It's everlasting, my friend. Once my young son came home and memorized John 3:16 and recited, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, what do you say? Everlasting life. Because he never heard the word ever. Normally Singaporeans like to say, never, I never did that. Never, never. So he is used with never, but not ever. So he memorized it wrongly. And I had to take time and pain to explain to him what ever is. For all eternity, for time without end. Now we think all in terms of space and time. But the time is coming when our Lord shall appear for ceaseless time. For all eternity we will sing, what is the Lamb that was slain to redeem me from all my besetting sins? Who made my impure heart pure? Who could do it? Not even me. Even if I have wished to the grave that I can heal myself and cleanse myself, I would not have achieved it. But my Lord descended from the glory of heaven to reach out to this poor sinner and deliver him from the mouth of hell. To be in the streets of gold in heaven, shall I not sing? Members of the church, sing because your hearts are made pure. Do not sing in a heart that entertains sins. Choir members, sing. Sing joyfully from a heart that is cleansed. But please don't sing with a heart that quietly entertains sin. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. May this church grow to thousands, because the name of Christ is worthy of the praise of 1,000 tongues. Now a greater blessing, my friends, such shall see God. Time will not permit to talk about this interesting blessing. See God? Yes, we all quickly admit we shall be with him forever and ever. As the great patriarch Job himself said in chapter 19, verse 26, although after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He was dying because the devil plagued him with all kinds of sickness. He was dying. And he was dying in misery because his friends were bad-mouthing him, saying all kinds of rude and unkind words. Pain in the body, pain in the heart, pain all around. And it is said, well, worms welcome, eat off my flesh, satisfy yourself. But let me tell you, my poor heart, which is made clean by the Lord, is waiting to escape the torture and the pain of this body. And I shall behold my Redeemer with my own eye. I cannot wait for my Lord to return. I just can't wait. Whenever I come to the end of Revelation, I'm so glad because it teaches me to pray, even so, come Lord Jesus, quickly. Amen. Come Lord Jesus, quickly. I must see thee and see thee alone, not any impurities of this world, the filth of this world. Oh, it sickens my heart, seeing God. But then I want to ask God, Lord, do I have to wait until I see you face to face to know the blessedness of seeing you? No. Now. Even now, you and I can experience the joy of seeing him. How? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please, for a short while. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. But we see Jesus. What is the saying? We see Jesus. Do you? I'm not a charismatic preacher who preaches about visions of Christ. I'm just reading out what the scripture says. Read on. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Oh, when did the Creator was made lower than his creation? For what? Oh, to help you to see. Read again, my friend. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Can you see this by the eye of faith? Oh, the rugged cross. Oh, how I cherish the rugged cross, the memory of it. It makes me happy. It thrills my soul. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. That's what we sing. All that thrills my soul. To think about my Lord right now, where you are, you look at Jesus and say, Lord, thank you that you are my Savior, my Redeemer. Thou art the one who cleanses me. what no man can do. Thank you that I came to this church this morning and heard a message like this, and I see you as my Savior. Oh, thou glory of heaven, you became lower than angels, like a man, in order to die on my behalf. I see it for myself. I see it with faith. I take it to myself. I shall behold this every day of my life. The Lord Jesus became like a man that he may substitute me so that I shall be like him. The famous saying of John Calvin, the Son of God became Son of Man, that sons of men may become sons of God. Don't you see it? What more do we see? We saw that our Lord resurrected from the grave, ascended to the glorious heaven, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. What is he doing? Paul taught us to set our affection on things above. What does that mean, my friend? Keep looking to Jesus. Again, may I ask you to turn to 1 John. And we are coming to the end of our message. Just a couple of minutes more. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, look toward him, to where he is. Walk every day, praying to Jesus, confessing your sin to Jesus. Look, he is your advocate, pleading on behalf of everyone who trusts in him, saying, Father, I have shed my blood for these people. They trust in my blood. Count not their sins. They are justified by my blood. They are sanctified by my blood. They are led every day by my truth. The Holy Spirit beckons them, Lord. They are crying. They are praying. Jesus says to the Father, forgive them. So as we plead in his name, the Father forgives. Now finally, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be. But we know that he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know, my friends, what is the standard of our purity? It's not the purity of your mind, Christ himself. How can I ever be satisfied with my own purity? Because when I think and consider my actions, my words, my thoughts, I always judge it according to my own standard. But when I stand before the holiest of all beings, the most holy God, when I compare myself to Christ who is coming, oh, my sins, the light of his presence, the fiery eyes of the coming judge, make all my sin exposed. No sin in secret, no sin in darkness of the room shall remain hidden. Oh, you are going to see him, but you shall not see him with all your sins. So be ye as pure as he is. But we can't on our own, but he can make us pure. Do you see him as your loving Savior? Do you see him with stretched hands hanging on the cross as though he's beckoning you? Come to me. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. Let me cleanse you. Come to him this morning. Let these promises of Christ in his word
cleanse us this morning?
How can a young man cleanse his way?
By keeping his word, according to his word. Let us pray.
Blessed Lord, thrice holy God, we fall before thee in repentance. Our coming does not mean that we are pure. Our singing does not mean that we are pure. But all these spiritual activities expose our wickedness even further. In the light of your glory, in the light of your truth, O Lord, we can only cry, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, unless you will cleanse and lift us up, we all will be undone. Have mercy, we pray, in Jesus' name.